Morning. We are going to look at a passage which is pretty challenging this morning. It also is a passage dealing with the military, which ties in with us giving thanks today for those that have shed their blood and given their lives to preserve freedom for us. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 7 on page 339. Joshua 7, page 339. Let me set the scene a little bit. In the book of Joshua, you have the Israelites who have now completed their 40-year journey in the desert, and they are ready to enter Canaan, the promised land, and to begin fighting for it as the land that God had promised them to possess. They have come off of a great victory at Jericho, and they're riding high on the fact that God gave them this wonderful victory over the inhabitants of Jericho. And their next battle is the battle for a town called Ai, A-I. And they seem to get a sense of, well, this won't be so difficult. They are starting to feel a little bit full of themselves. And the account in chapter 7, I'd like for us to look at select verses, and then I'll piece together the rest of the story for you. In verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, "But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel." The phrase in verse 1 that says that the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to devoted things, the phrase devoted things refers to what was called the ban or the cherem. The ban was a law that the Lord had given in regard to certain battles that the Israelites fought, that all of the enemy was to be annihilated. Women, children, young, old, no one surviving, and even cattle were to be destroyed. This was complete and wholesale destruction. Now, that might sound horrifically violent and merciless. We need to keep in mind a couple of things, that Israel was a political, spiritual entity, unlike the church today, and that is why Christians do not pick up arms and fight as individuals. And that is why the church does not have its own military wing. We had some interesting mixing of military and politics and religion in the Middle Ages when you had popes and kings vying for power. But that was an inappropriate blending of the military with the religious. However, ideally, the church is a spiritual entity that resides in the hearts of men, not based on military and politics. And so Israel, dealing as a political entity, also had a military function. This was necessary for God to move the Jews toward the point where the Messiah would be born, where Jesus would come as the world's Savior. So God had to protect and shield and grow and prosper Israel in order to lead them to the point where Christ could come. Something else we have to keep in mind that, the people that Israel fought deserved punishment. These were not just nice, peaceful individuals who were good people. You've heard that often said. Why would God do this, or why would God punish good people? Well, the fact of the matter is that mankind in his nature is corrupt, is evil. Good evidence of this in the Canaanite culture was the fact of how bloody and how violent that culture was. In fact, they practiced infant sacrifice, which is an abomination. It is abhorrent. If you think that America is defiant towards God's will toward life and for the unborn, imagine the mindset of a people like the Canaanites who would build idols such as the god Moloch, and they'd build this idol with his arms outstretched over a fire pit, And then they would stoke the flames of the fire and place newborns or place infants in the arms of this idol to be immolated, to be burned alive. Consider also that it was a Canaanite practice that when a person was building a new home, if they had an infant born while they were building their home, they would take the infant, seal it in a jar, and place it alive into the wall of the home because they felt the gods would bless them. Okay? These are the kinds of people that were being fought against by the Israelites. They were defiant of God's decree of the value of life and mankind being made in the image of God. And so the Lord brought down condemnation upon them. These things often aren't mentioned when people criticize the Old Testament and describe the God of the Old Testament as vindictive and hostile and militaristic. But what's not often mentioned are the horrific sins of the people and the bloodthirstiness of people that were so steeped in worldliness and sin that needed to be punished. So with that, the idea of the holy things that were dedicated to God, the ban meant that no military people, no officers, no soldiers were to take anything. No loot was to be taken. It all was to be destroyed. Part of this process was to make the statement that Israel did not want to incorporate any of this culture into their own. They were to remain separate and holy to the Lord. They were to follow His will and not to start absorbing the cultures and the gods and the mindset of the peoples that they were fighting. What happened in the case of Achan is that he coveted some of the material things that were found among the loot, and he ended up taking them for himself. So, since he had done that clandestinely, the next time Israel went out to fight against the city of Ai, they thought, oh, well, this will be an easy victory. We don't need that many soldiers for this one. So they went up and they got their butts kicked. And the citizens of Ai chased the Israelite army and killed 32 of them in that particular battle. Then Israel was very upset because God had promised through Joshua that he would give them success militarily. And now what had happened? And so let's pick it up in verse 10, where the Lord says to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things, that is, the things in the battle that were to have been destroyed and not distributed. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies." So then the call goes out, who has done this? And the search is conducted, and it turns up that this man Achan had stolen some of these things from the Lord. In verse 20, when he is confronted, Achan replied, "It is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." So they went and they discovered these things are true. In verse 24, now we get to the condemnation and punishment of Achan. "Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons, daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, 'Why have you brought this trouble upon us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today.' Then all Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest," yes, his family, "they burned them. Over Achan they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. The Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since." And the word Achor in Hebrew means trouble. Indeed, this was a troubling incident. And I imagine some of you in your minds are struggling a little bit, saying, this is troubling, this is so violent, this is so hostile. If you don't do much reading in the Scriptures, this could be quite shocking to you this morning. And the reason it might be shocking is to see how vindictive and how heavy-handed the Lord can be. That might be shocking to you. If that's the case, I suggest you get into the Scriptures and spend more time reading them, because you need to become familiarized with the fact that the Lord God is a judge. He is a king, and he has the power to crush and destroy those that stand against him. This should not be surprising to us as Christians. We also learn from this incident that sin is incredibly offensive to God. In this particular case, this guy, Achan, stole some things. Now, I mean, there's a lot of bad sins in the world. I mean, even murder and things like this. Why would God react so hostile against this man for stealing something? It kind of reminds me in the New Testament of how the Lord also, once again, was extremely displeased and struck down this Ananias and Sapphira, who in Acts chapter 5, I believe it is, lied about an offering to the Lord. And they sold some land, and they said, well, Peter said, is this how much you got for the land? And they had a little agreement between them to lie about it. And so they both lied, and the Lord struck them dead. Similar circumstance. In both cases, this was not simply stealing from another person. This was direct theft of what was to be dedicated to God. And the Lord was not impressed by that. What it was individuals directly saying, we are going to try to fool God, we are going to try to steal from him, and we're going to idolize money and material things because they mean more to us than the Lord. That is offensive to God. When someone is supposed to be committed to him, and especially when things are supposed to be devoted to his use and people try to steal them, would he not be offended? I think so. Even though this is a political situation in the life of Israel, there are things that apply to us still today, lessons that we can learn from this for our own time and our own society today. So let's think about some of the lessons that we can learn from this situation with Achan and Israel. First thing is that the size of the military does not guarantee victory. This is a big temptation. Throughout the ages, people have thought that superior military means victory. All throughout the Old Testament, we see the lesson that times when Israel was very overconfident, when they put their emphasis and their hope in themselves, they were defeated. Even when they had superior resources and military, they were defeated, and God humbled them. Conversely, at other times, when it looked like they were hopelessly outnumbered, where the enemy seemed like they would be victorious, the Lord brought them a miraculous victory. One thing we need to understand is, as the Scriptures say, we should not put our hope in princes and horses. We should not trust in the strength of man. We put our trust in the Lord. This is something that we need to understand. We sit here today in this free country because many people sacrificed their lives. They shed their blood. They gave the ultimate price in order for us to have freedom. And great wars were fought and were won so that we might have this privilege of worshiping the Lord in this free country. However, we don't want to get this attitude that because we have this superior military, we will always stand and we can just be an immoral society and do as we wish. We have to watch out. The lesson of Achan is that one individual's sin can bring dire consequences. Think about the consequences that fell because of Achan's sin. One man steals things that are committed to God. 32 men died in that first battle for Ai. 32 men died because of his sin. Then further, he brings this guilt into his own home, into his own family. Why would his whole family be brought out and stoned? Why would they be killed? We're not given the details. It is possible that his family was aware of his sin and did nothing to expose him. If that is the case, they would be just as culpable. The lesson definitely is shown that the consequences of sin affect many people. It's never just an isolated case where a person who even tries to conduct sin secretly only influences themselves. It's like a network. It's like a web. Everything that we do inappropriate, wrong, and sinful touches on other people's lives. It influences other people's lives. And when we violate God's will, someone else will suffer as a result. That's why we need to be quick to repent and fast to recognize if we are violating God's will and turn from it. Achan did not turn from his will, from his own sinful will until it was too late. Another lesson we learn from this is that no matter what the size of our army, it doesn't save us from corruption. We should not depend on military strength as though that's all that's necessary. If a society is corrupt, the Lord will not let it stand. This is a lesson that our country needs to learn today, is that we cannot just think that if we have secure borders, if we are preventing terrorists, that that's all that's necessary, and yet have a society that is steeped with scum and sin. God will not allow this society, kind of society, to stand. A good case in point was that just this last week, one of my favorite radio stations that I used to like listening to, 106.9, was, I think it was WJZI, it was the smooth jazz station. One of the reasons I like listening to smooth jazz is because there's less lyrics. I have found that the vast majority of lyrics in music are scummy. Maybe you have discovered this too. If you actually listen and analyze what's being said in the lyrics, in the music, you will find that the vast majority of music is scum. It's worldly. It's corrupt. It's vile. So I listen to instrumental music because I don't want to have to deal with the garbage. Well, and I enjoyed this smooth jazz station because it was mostly instrumental. Don't have to have the garbage coming into your head. Well, this week I turned on the station and I met by a completely different format. You know how they change overnight, right? Like weeds coming up in the lawn. All of a sudden, they had made a change. And the station changed to Tiger 106.9. And they call it stunting now. A short-term format change to introduce a new station. And the format, at least for the time being, is Tiger, because it's a play on Tiger Woods and his infidelity. And so all the music on this station now, no matter what era, no matter what type of music, is all about infidelity and affairs. Isn't that wonderful? Don't we love this in our culture? It just gets me sick. And how many people, how many Christians will not even care, will just think, oh, wow, oh, interesting idea, and listen to it? We need to do an honest self-assessment of whether we are succumbing to the scum, whether even as Christians in this society, we are offending God. We are doing things that militate against his will. We know about the scandals of the church. The finger has to be pointed at the church in this matter also. We see the high-profile affairs. We see the sexual abuse problems of the priests in the Roman church. We see the financial absconding with offerings and things like this that have happened over the years. The church has set a lousy example in many instances and are guilty of Achan's sin. But we also, who sit in the pews, we've been two-faced, getting our kicks watching immoral programming, listening to music. And the scum is prevalent. And sadly, Christians are implicated in this. And it's time we looked at ourselves honestly in the mirror and said, hey, should we expect God's blessing on this land if we're living in a level of immorality and just assuming God's going to turn a blind eye to this? You know, the founders of our country and the people that gave their lives for this country over the years in the wars knew that this country was blessed of the Lord. And it was established on principles of the Scriptures. And the founders of this country said, this will only remain a great nation as long as it is a godly nation. And if this people ceases to be a godly people, this country will fail. We need to be reminded of that. Even as we thank God for the people that have offered that ultimate sacrifice to give us our freedom and our liberty today, we need to be reminded that it does not matter what kind of army we have if we are corrupting and corroding our country from the inside. There needs to be a repentance. And I know you're aware of this. Our society at large needs to be made aware of this. We need to be very vocal with our neighbors and friends and co-workers. We need to let them know that there needs to be a return to modesty and decency and godliness, or else this country will collapse. We need to understand what's at stake. We do not want to continue hurtling down the tracks toward destruction because of immorality and indecency. Every time I hear about a Christian who watches Family Guy and Simpsons and things like this, I think, hey, what are you doing? What are you thinking? We become what we absorb. Our value system gets corrupted if we participate in things that distort us and warp us. It's time for self-assessment and honesty and looking at ourselves and saying, have we expected that our military will prevent the 9/11s, that we'll live in safety and security? You know, this message kind of reminds us like the prophets. Woe to those who proclaim peace, peace, when there is no peace, you know. God wants sincerity and commitment from people, not just a sham commitment. So, you know, this is a very difficult message, a very hard message this morning, but I also want to point out something else, that we do have the grace of Jesus. God has been very merciful to us, and I think it is because of the commitment of many millions of Christians in our country that we have not slid worse morally. And I think it is also because of the faithfulness of many millions of Christians in this country that the Lord continues to still give us protection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would turn there, 1 Corinthians 6 on page 1777, page 1777, 1 Corinthians 6, we need to rid our country of the filth and immorality, but there is an institution, there is a place where corruption exists and still people are righteous. Does that sound wrong? Does that sound weird? There is a place where there is corruption and yet people are righteous. It's called the church. because this is a place where people who have been corrupt come to repent. It is the place where people are born again, where they are moving out of their sinful life and into the righteous life. It's not where there's perfect people, but people that are trying to model the perfection of Jesus, people that are trying to let the Holy Spirit remake them and renew them. In 1 Corinthians, did I say 6? Yes. Verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves. We think of Achan. Nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. Emphasis on the past tense. That is what some of you were. And yet, this is what the church is composed of. People that were living ungodly lives. People that were hostile, opposed to God, and now they've been remade, they've been changed, they've been born again, a new person. That is what God is looking for from us. That is what God is looking for from this country. He's looking for people to turn to Him. He's looking for individuals to walk away from the corruption and the graft and the scum. He is looking for a country that will commit itself to His values and principles. I'm frustrated by the fact that just this last week, the House approved repealing the don't ask, don't tell policy about gays in the military. You know, if you don't have a strong military morally, it will collapse. If you don't have a strong country morally, it will collapse. The repealing of the don't ask, don't tell policy is one step closer. And of course, it has to go to the Senate now and it'll be debated there. But it's moving one step closer to this open policy of saying homosexuality is fine, it doesn't matter. And look, even the military is doing this. It will further marginalize those who speak out against it. It will make them seem bigoted and small-minded. The whole process will be a spiritual dumbing down of our society. It will be an open-faced rebellion against the Lord. That bothers me. Because it will be putting confidence in ourselves, just like the men who went up against Ai and tried to attack it, thinking, oh, this will be easy, and reliance upon the military instead of God and righteousness and morality. So we have some serious moral problems in this country. And we need to stand against it and to notify our elected officials and tell them how unhappy we are about this. We need to understand in our own lives where there are weaknesses and sincerely repent of them. The lesson of Achan is that God does not mess with sin. Punishment follows, consequence follows, not just for individuals, but also for families, also for extended relationships. And we need to be aware of this. We need to understand how toxic, how cancerous sin is, how it destroys our lives, and we need to cling to Christ, to come to Him, and to realize that with the Spirit's help, we need to change. We need to eliminate this. And God willing, this country will wake up to its situation, because I believe this country has put its confidence in its military. I believe this country has grown arrogant and immoral. And how long God will let that happen, I do not know. But I do not believe He would let this happen indefinitely. Our country needs to repent. You've maybe heard that before, but hopefully this time in your heart you will realize, looking at myself as a citizen of this country, I need to do so first, and I need to call others to do so as well. If we want the continued blessing of peace and prosperity in this country, we need to, as a nation, sincerely turn back toward the Lord and away from the corruption that we see around us. Amen.